Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning verse 1 says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabians, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayers unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers of the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which built it on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it. Every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so built it. And we had sounded the trumpets, and he that sounded the trumpets was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, Let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us, and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing. Lord, we sure do thank you again for the privilege we have to be here this evening. Help us for just a little bit. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. Lord, I just pray that if there's one here this evening that's lost, don't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray this will be the night that they'll call upon you and trust you in a free pardon of sin. Lord, I pray again for these prayer requests that's been mentioned. Lord, I pray that you'll give grace for the hour to each one that's in need. We love you and we thank you again. Help us for just a little bit and we'll give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. You can be seated. We're going to pick back up here where we were at on Sunday night. We've looked at this passage about 3 times so far, and we've got down to about verse 10 somewhere thereabout, and I wanted to look at it again on rebuilding the wall here in Nehemiah chapter 4. And we find that there's nothing different under the nothing new under the sun. God's people's always had problems, whatever generation it was or whatever time frame in life it's been. There's always been those opponents, those that was in opposition to the work of God and to the things that God desires to get done. And we know that Jerusalem was that holy city of God, and it was a city that was precious to the Jewish people. And we know that the walls had been torn down. The Jews had been in captivity for many years, and God has laid it upon one man, Nehemiah's heart, to go back and rebuild the walls when he heard that they were torn down and the people were in great reproach there. And we looked at several things the first week about the problems that they encountered there in verse 1 and the persecution that they endured, verses 2 and 3. So don't think it's something that's not normal when you suffer persecution. I mean, the devil, he don't want us to carry on the work of God, whatever it might be, whatever type it is, or ever how large or how small. The devil's always got someone that's going to try to hinder. And he will hinder. I mean, he's in every church across this land. He's trying to tear the walls down if they're not already torn down, and he's trying to persecute God's people. He's trying to intimidate them, and I think that brings us to the third thing that we looked at here, the prayer that was made, verses 4 through 5. When these things come, the problems that we encounter and the persecutions that we face a lot of times, I think if we would take Nehemiah's approach and appeal to God in prayer, I believe we'd be a lot better off sometimes. But most of the time, we want to handle it ourselves. But we see that Nehemiah petitioned God, and he begged God. He said, "Hear, O God, for we are despised." Don't think it's strange if you run up on the fact that you're despised today. The devil's crowd despises God's people. And I'll tell you, the religious crowd despises God's people, those that are trying to preach the truth of the Word of God. There's a lot of opinions about religion today. There's a lot of opinions about Christianity and what's going on in the religious world today of what's right, what's wrong, and everybody's got an opinion about it. But it don't matter what our opinions is. It's what God says about it, and it's how God has told us to carry out His work. But He said, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of the captivity." So we find out how Nehemiah prayed, and he sought God during the persecutions, the problems that he run up on with these individuals that hated God's people. And that's what it all boiled down to. They're God haters. They hated God's work. They hated God's city. They didn't want the city repaired. And they didn't want somebody coming in and repairing these walls and putting up the gates again, because it would shut them out, so to speak. It would limit them to their approach to the city and the things that they had a grasp on and a hold on here in the city of Jerusalem. Then we see the purpose that was fulfilled there in verse 6. He says, So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. You know, and that word mind, that means they had a heart to work. And that's what we need today. We need to get back to that point and place like Nehemiah and the people that was helping him rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And the way they got it done, they had a heart to work. They had a heart for the work that was going on. And they just made a commitment that they was going to get it done. And you go over to Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15 there, and it tells us, it says, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days." So we see this was a great work. It was a large work, and it involved a lot of people. And I'm going to tell you, if we get anything done today, we got to realize that God's work is a great work. It don't matter if it's a little church, big church, medium-sized church. It's a large work, and God's got it going on across this country. There's been a lot of walls that's been torn down in Christianity and in our churches across this land that needs to be repaired. But it's a large work, and it's a great work. And God's work is a good work, and it's not going to be easy a lot of times. And we're going to see, as we look at chapter 4 and finishing up here, we're going to see what they faced. We're going to see how the enemy tried to intimidate them and the things that they tried to do. They tried to ridicule them. They tried to mock them. And if you stand and you live for God today, and you're embracing old-fashioned, old-time religion today, you're going to be mocked and you're going to be ridiculed. I mean, they'll mock us for singing out of this redback hymnal and singing these old hymns of the faith and those spiritual songs that we sing and just using the piano and the basic instruments, and everybody's gone contemporary across this land. They think they're going to reach the masses of people. They say it, that, you know, it's the words that matters. But I'm going to tell you, this, the beat and it's the tone of the music today that gets people worked up, gets them stirred up. And a lot of these songs, just as they call them 7-Eleven, we call them 7-Eleven songs. There's 7 words with 11 repeats on a lot of it. And a lot of them has nothing to do with the Jesus of this Bible and the God of this Bible and how God's worked in people's lives down through the years. I love them old hymns. And the Bible talks about over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, said, "Be not drunk on wine, where is it in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart." People say, well, we're in just a different time. You know, that we've got to change. We got to be willing to change if we're going to reach people today. But I'm going to tell you, this book will still work. And the wall of our religious order in this land has been torn down, and it needs to be rebuilt back up. I believe God honors holiness. He honors righteousness. He honors His Word when it's preached in power and purity and when people stand for the right thing. I mean, I believe there's a biblical order how our churches are to run, and a lot of Baptist churches have had some walls torn down in them. They've embraced other people's thinking from different realms of Christianity, and they let things go on in their churches, which ought to be, their hand ought to be called on. I promise you, somebody gets up in this church and speaks in tongues, we're going to deal with it. I mean, we're going to stop it. I don't care if it is a mixed multitude, call us hard or whatever it might be. I think this word, the Word of God, needs to be honored. And if people's out of biblical context, they need to be dealt with. They need to be called down. They need to be said something to. And be nice about it at the first time if it happens, because it happens. I've seen some strange things in my life, and it's because the walls have been torn down in Christianity, the truths of the Word of God. There's people who goes into the book of Acts. They build doctrine out of a transitional book from the time of Judaism into the age of grace. And we can find doctrine in the book of Acts, but we don't build doctrine out of the book of Acts. We get doctrine from the epistles of the Apostle Paul. And there's a lot of walls that's been torn down and a lot of different doctrines that have been embraced that's not biblical, and they don't line up with the Word of God, and we've let it go on. And it's the problems in our pulpits today. This bunch of liberals that have taken over and come along, and we've gotten away from the teachings of the truth of the Word of God. We just want to have a good time. Now, I'm for having a good time. I like for service to get on, but I'm going to tell you, when it gets out of biblical order, then there's something wrong. It's either emotionalism, it's of the flesh, it's not lined up with the Word of God. There's something wrong, and sometimes it breaks out. I've been in some tent meetings where things happen that because of the association of 10 meetings and the things that goes on in a lot of different denominational realms, that things will happen sometimes. We was in a tent meeting one night, and all of a sudden this man comes into the service, and he begins to open his shirt up, showing some surgery, different things that had happened, and he was telling for some experience that he had had and what God done. But what he was doing, he was getting into the miracle things, and you know, he was just trying to exalt himself, basically. And so we had to stop and have a little Sunday school hour there, basically, in the tent meeting. Why? Because people got so unbiblically based today, and these things have crept into our churches. The walls have been torn down of the doctrines of the Word of God, and the devil's crowd has crept in and are trying to monopolize on the church of God today. So we're going to run into problems. We're going to run into persecutions. We're going to run into these different thoughts and different thinking that people has a lot of times. And it's going to creep into our churches. The devil will try us. He's liable to try us here. If you go to preaching like this and saying that, you know, we're going to keep things straight, we're going to keep it lined up with the Word of God, next thing you know, something will creep in here, and somebody will come in and try to disrupt the service. And why? Because the walls have been broke down of the doctrines of the Word of God down through the time. And so we come to the next portion of chapter 4 here, and I don't know where all that come from, but that's okay this evening. And I believe it matters what we believe. It matters what we stand for. And the reason we're in trouble is because the walls have been torn down this evening. But then we looked last Sunday night at their perplexed enemy there in verses 7 through 8. And it said there that they were very wroth. They were wroth and when they seen what was going on. Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites. And so we see that wroth was intensely angry. They seen that God was getting the job done, that the breaches of the walls were being repaired, and that things was progressing. And they used ridicule at first there in the first part of the chapter 4, where they even said that, verse 3 said, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. So they tried to use that ridicule and the mockery of the Jews to try to discourage them from carrying on the work of God. We know that they were surrounded in the north. I mentioned that Sanballat and the Samaritans. In the east, there was Tobiah and the Ammonites. In the south were Geshem and the Arabs. And in the west were the Ashdodites, who were the Philistines. So we see they were surrounded by their enemies all around and trying to carry on the work of God. But then we came to the sixth thing, I believe it was the powerful retaliation that they, how they responded. Verse 9 said, nevertheless, we made our prayer. Nehemiah was a praying man. We need to pray more, I believe, today than we've ever prayed before. And we're praying less, I'm afraid, across this land, and that's why we're not seeing revival. That's not why we're not seeing God move. That's why we're not seeing things happen in our churches, and we just go through the procedures. We see great building programs that's going on across this land in the church realm, but we're here and seeing very little revival. And somebody mentioned it not too long ago. I don't know where we were at, but all this building, if it was a sign of revival, we'd be hearing of a great move of God today. But we're not seeing much, and we're seeing more wickedness than we've ever seen. And the Bible talks about in the latter days that the love of many would wax cold. We're seeing people that used to love God. They used to love church. They used to be a part of the church. And we've seen their love for the things of God grow cold and indifferent. We've seen people walk away from the church and just for no reason at all. We've seen it happen here. We've seen it happen in different places. When I was at Zion Hill, when God would begin to move, people would get start getting saved, the devil will always stick his head up, I promise you. And about the time you think things fixing to take off, the devil would show up. The Tobias and Sanballat. And they'd come in and things would begin to happen, you know. And that's where we're at. But we see the powerful retaliation that Nehemiah and the people of God, they made their prayer unto our God, he said, and set a watch against them day and night because of them, because of their enemies, because of those that were against them. And in this day and hour when people are so anti-God, they're anti-church, they're anti-Ten Commandments, they're anti-anything that reminds them of what they are, that they're sinners, you know, we need to pray. We need to seek God in prayer. We were talking last night about Brother Chris and Miss Elizabeth and with some things we need to pray about. And, you know, the Bible says if we'll agree on earth as touching anything, that if we'll ask the Father in heaven, that He'd do it for us. And I believe if we could get in agreeance and we could get to that point in place where we would purpose in our hearts, our minds, that we're going to just pray and we're expecting God to do something. We get the sin confessed out of our lives. We get close to God and move up just a little closer and begin to earnestly and fervently pray and seek God's will. I believe God will do the same thing for us He did for Nehemiah and them. And we see, as we looked at these verses of Scripture, we've seen how God blessed. And I jumped over there to chapter 6 and verse 15 there and read that in 52 days they restored these walls. Now I tried to find out, and I know they were, it was a pretty good ways around the city of Jerusalem. There was a lot of rubbish. There was a lot of things that was in the way, that trash that had been there for years now. And they had to get that stuff moved, you know. And that's what a lot of times in our churches, there's a lot of trash, there's a lot of destruction that's taken place, and it's hard to recover from that. It's hard to clean up the rubbish and get it out of the way. There's going to be criticism, there's going to be ridicule, there's going to be mockery that comes our way when we begin to try to restore back the walls that have been torn down, and we're going to face that. Might as well get ready for it. So what are we going to do? We're going to have to do what Nehemiah did. We're going to have to make our prayers to God. We're going to have to seek His will. We're going to have to seek His ways in getting things done. And then we come to verse 10 tonight. It said, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. So here we see the plans that were made. Here in verse 10, we see the observation made by Judah here in verse 10 of all the rubbish, the bearers of burden, what's going on, and how the hindrances that they have. And we see here the people's complaint. We see the strategy number 3. We know that the first one was ridicule, and the first one was ridicule and mockery, and it's overcome by prayer and perseverance. And then we see the second opposition that they faced was conspiring and plotting to attack, and it was overcome by standing watch and praying. And then we see in verse 10, we find what's going to happen next in the third opposition that the Jews face, and we're going to face this thing too, is discouragement and fatigue. Discouragement and fatigue. I've said it many times. Discouragement is no respecter of person. Just like depression is no respecter of person. We're all vulnerable to these things, as to discouragement. And when things don't happen as fast as we think they should sometimes, when we don't see things developing in the realm that we think they should, a lot of times we get discouraged. And a lot of times we get in, if we do get to working and we get to trying to do the work of God, we can get fatigued. I mean, and that's when discouragement comes. I know that a lot of times when in everyday work, the work that I do, if I get a hold of a problem car and I fool with that thing and I fool with it and I begin to get fatigued over that, and I begin to get discouraged because you can't fit. Well, same thing with the work of God. I mean, if you're not careful, if you're expecting God to move on your time frame instead of on His time frame, if we're not careful, we'll get discouraged in the things of God. And we'll get in a hurry. And if we're not careful, if we don't draw up close to God, then we're going to get in trouble. And we'll be like a lot of people that's left the old path, that's left the church. They went their own way. So we see a strategy, the opposition of one of the third strategy used by the enemies was discouragement and fatigue. And we see the only way to deal with that is overcome by drawing from the Lord's strength. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Bible talks about not getting weary in well-doing. I mean, it's okay to get weary sometimes, but just don't get weary. We can get weary in the journey, as one preacher said, but let's not get weary of the journey. Let's not get discouraged just because we're not seeing things out. Let's don't get discouraged just because we don't see the pews filled every Sunday and every Sunday night and Wednesday night. We got a pretty good crowd here for a Wednesday night, considering that we have 21, 23 people on Sunday morning most of the time, or 25 if we have some visitors. But we got a pretty good group here this evening. Got a lot of young people. And it's good to see young people in the house of God. Let's don't get discouraged. Let's get encouraged. Let's draw from the Lord's strength. Let's try to rely upon Him instead of relying upon our own means and upon our own strength. Because I promise you, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And if we don't draw close to God, if we don't draw nigh to God and draw from His strength and let Him live in us and through us and accomplish the things that we want to see done, then we're going to get in trouble. So we see the plans that were made here in verse 10. And they began to look, and they were seeing what was going on. The people had gotten burned down. They'd got discouraged. There was much rubbish. Can you imagine all these years, probably close to 100 years, that the city of Jerusalem been laying desolate? The stone rocks, the walls had been broken down. The rubbish that was growing around there, probably the weeds that was growing up, they had to fight over all that stuff to fight against it, to get those rocks and those old materials out of the way so they could restore the walls and put them back in place. I mean, it was a lot of work. Have you seen houses that's grown up? I mean, that's been neglected. There's one in our community. And we've seen it. We talked about it for years. I mean, the car was sitting there at the same place every time we'd go by. Hey, the weeds was growing up. The trees was growing up around the house. And the houses weren't all that old, but this house looked like it had been there and been deserted. And we thought for a long time that I'd watch every time I go by there just to see if the car had been moved. Then one day, I thought I seen the car go up the road. Well, we began to see just the door was open. This week, or last week, we've seen they've started cleaning up a little bit. They've cut some weeds down. And it does look like, actually, that someone is living there. And I can just imagine around the walls of Jerusalem there after all those years, and no one had been concerned about restoring, rebuilding the walls and cleaning up that mess, and what a mess it could have been. And they didn't have dump trucks. They didn't have backhoes. They didn't have front-end loaders to get this stuff up. Now, these men and women that were working on these walls, they were having to doing it by hand. And I can just imagine all the things that they were faced with and how they were growing weary, how they were getting tired. And probably they thought, you know, we've been working on this thing for 4 or 5 days now. We can't see no change, and we can't see no improvement. And no doubt a week later, maybe they began to get a little bit discouraged because of they had got fatigued. And it's very easy to get discouraged when you get fatigued, when you get so tired that you just don't seem like you can move. And when you get to that point, you just got to get alone and rest. You got to get somewheres and get you some rest, because I'm going to tell you, you can even get discouraged. You can get fatigued in the work of God. And if you're not careful, you'll get to the point that you're just ready to throw your hands up and quit. And and Judah, I believe he observed that some of these were getting discouraged. Said, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. I mean, we got to clean this mess up before we can build the wall. And people are getting weary. They're getting worn out. And how are we going to do this? So we see the plans that were made. We see the people's complaint. They were weary. We see the answers to this through verses 13 through 23. It's going to take a strong commitment if we get the job done today, despite the hardships that we face. And it seems like when we get down low in our churches and we just got a few people that we all just have to throw in and get the thing done. I mean, even cutting the grass and different things that we have to keep up, we don't have that many. So we all have to throw in double hard, and we have to get in. If we're not careful, we get discouraged when we look around and we don't see anything happening. We don't see people getting saved on a regular basis. Well, then we just need to get buckled in. We need to draw strength from the Lord. We need to get up closer to the Lord. We need to pray. We need to make our prayers. We need to agree with one another that we're going to pray. We're going to seek God's direction. Hey, you're going to pray for the man of God, that the Lord will give him the messages that we need. And we're going to pray that God will place people in our paths that we can witness to, and we can tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to ask people if they're saved. And you need to know your family members. You know, don't worry about hurting their feelings or anything. We need to know if our loved ones are lost or saved. I mean, if you've got some loved ones, and you've got a question mark about it, well, you ought to find you a place and a time and go and find out about it. And say, are you saved? Do you know Jesus is your Savior? Has there ever been a time? I want to know, because one of these days you're going to leave this world, and I want to know whether you're saved or not. You know, pray that God will open doors for us to witness, just like this young man at the Chick-fil-A. I mean, that's a door open. That young man done asked, said, do y'all sing out a redback hymn book? Are you old-fashioned? Are you independent Baptist? Well, we fit that category. And they're looking for a church, and it would be a good thing to really stay after that young man and maybe reach their parents. I mean, that's an open door. And don't get discouraged just because we're not knocking the walls out. I mean, God's moving. Just look and see what He's already done. Hey, sometimes God moves people out of the way, and we don't understand it. Sometimes God moves people out of the way. And if we can't put a finger on what it is, then we just might as well just say, well, it's probably the Lord's will that they moved on. And I hate to see people move on. I've never said this, that they look better leaving than they do coming, because I don't believe that. And I believe if we'd all get our hearts right with God and we'd get in the place that God has called us to be, I believe we could all be affected and we could be used of God. These Jews here, they got discouraged. They seen the rubbish, all the extra hard work. And I promise you, it's harder work for a small crowd sometimes than it is for a big crowd. But I'm glad that God will provide and He'll meet the needs. So we see the plans that were made there in verse 10. We see the answer to discouragement and fatigue. It's a strong commitment despite the hardships. Hardships are coming. Did you know there's hardships in raising children? Did you know children are hard work? There's a lot of rubbish that has to be removed out of their lives. There's a lot of rubbish that we have to keep away from them, where they have room to grow and where they can build their lives. Just like they had to remove all the rubbish here so they could build the walls back at Jerusalem that had been torn down. And it's hard work to raise children. And it's discouraging today. We look around and, you know, people don't want to put pressure on them. You know, I'm glad I had pressure put on me when I was a kid, when I was a young person. You know, we did some stupid things when I was growing up. But they're doing a whole lot more stupid things today. These teachers, when I went to school, I've heard the paddle ring out up and down the halls. And there was a little bit of fear And they were building some character in some young people. And there's some young people that went through Tadmore and East Hall, where I went to school, that are upstanding citizens today. And if they hadn't had the restraints that they had and built their lives the way that they did, no telling where they'd be. I see a lot of people that, I remember a lot of them that was troubled children. There's one of them laying right out here in his graveyard. I went to school with him. I've seen the visiting teacher. They used to call her the visiting teacher. I seen her bring him to school one day, let him out. As soon as he got out, he took off running, and he was gone. And he was in the eighth grade. You know, but they had a little control. But there's hardship sometimes in raising children. There's hardships in building churches and trying to get the job done. And it's going to be discouraging times. There's going to be times of fatigue when we get tired and we get worn out. We just want to move on. Then we see not only the plans that were made, but we see the protection that was provided there in verses 13 through 23. And I've got a lot of stuff here, and I don't know. I may just save this. I may stop here. I didn't mean to be this long and labor in this part up to this point this evening, but I think it was the Lord's will. Don't get discouraged. We can get working and doing other things and trying to serve God too. If we're not careful, we'll get fatigued and we'll just let the house of God go. We'll let the things of God go because we feel like we need to fulfill our duty to our family in working. And I know through my life I've worked a lot. When my kids was coming up, I'd work at night, day and night. I'd come home from Honda. I'd get off at 6 o'clock. I'd come home, eat supper. And a lot of times I'd go down there and shop, and I'd work 10, 11 o'clock at night. You know, we put so much emphasis sometimes on making money, providing for our family, that we neglect the more important things. And if you're not careful, you'll get tired. You'll get fatigued. You'll get wore out, and you'll fall by the wayside. Let's don't get discouraged. Discouragement is no respecter person. It's very easy to get discouraged. If you get to looking around this evening, you see people that's left. Let's just be point blank. You see people that's left, and you wonder, and you get discouraged about that. I mean, when I come down here, we had 45 on Sunday morning, we's having visitors come in. And then all of a sudden, things begin to happen, Brother Todd. People begin to leave. Just for various reasons. You just think about it for the reasons why, and we can't even see reasons on some of them sometimes.